The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and I'm also going to have Dan DuBose, CPA, joining me here, I guess, probably right at the end of the first segment. For those of you that have been here before and tuned in, you know at this point that we are always seeking ways to identify strategies, particularly with regard to the Internal Revenue Code and your investments, to help you generate higher returns, higher retirement wealth, and effectively look at a better way, or what we think may be a better way, of conducting your financial affairs for the rest of your life, to help you deal with the additional life expectancy length that we have now. I think you've probably heard me discuss how the IRS now has males my age, and maybe Dan's. I forget where the cutoff is there, being kind. Living up till 85, 86, and females living to the ripe old age of 87, 88. And when you think about it, that's a long time that most of us may not be thinking about when we generally think about retirement. The old normal of thinking that if you had maybe $1 million in retirement assets would see you through your glory days is, way out of date. And I would suggest now, given the cost of just generally the cost of living, forget about the inflation that we might not have had we done things differently here for the last several years. The cost of living plus the huge unknown in most people's case is what their health care is going to consist of over the balance of their life. And I'm not necessarily meaning just trips to the doctor or health insurance. I'm referring to the big elephant in the room, which is long-term health care services and the cost thereof, or chronic illness. And when you consider those costs, which are astronomical, I can see where, the latest stat I've seen is over $800,000 will be incurred by 50% or more of American couples through your retirement for health care. And that in large measure is the long-term health care, skilled nursing, et cetera, component that a lot of people will end up in. And so I'm going to suggest, unless you've got $2 to $3 million, you are not well off, or you're not really prepared. You're not self-insured, let's say, against that prospect. And so you've got to use other tools, and we have other tools to help you get there where it won't take $2 or $3 million. It'd be nice if we had it, but hey, there's a lot we can do with the assets that you probably, if you don't already have them, you will before you hit the ripe old age of 65, 70, et cetera, if you'll utilize some of the tools and tips we know about. I want to elaborate on the disclaimer that you heard at the top of the show. We do not grant you a relationship with Nathan Ross CPA or NP Ross CPAs or Be a Planner. I'm working on assorted other websites. And just because you see strategies or concepts discussed or on the air or on a website, or you send us an email or leave me a voicemail, that doesn't give you a relationship with any of us. Happy to consider that if you want to go to the BAPlanner.com website. That's BAPlanner.com. Complete our intake forms. You'll see a link there at the top right. And then feel free to go ahead and schedule a call at the link right next to it, and be happy to discuss your own facts and circumstances if you don't already have someone that's servicing your needs. And I'm going to always suggest that when you see strategies discussed or concepts brought up as to possible planning strategies, etc., that you always first go to those that are familiar with your facts and circumstances, your legal counsel, your tax strategist, your real estate strategist, in the case of most of the things you'll hear on this radio show. And let's make sure that the content that you heard or thought you heard, one, is still timely, it's not out of date, and two, that it actually fits your circumstances, needs, and objectives. You know, a lot of times what we discuss on the air are general rules, and there may be specific rules that either don't allow you to undertake a strategy or perhaps require modification to be able to do so. Let's see. I was also going to mention, well, we've got a couple topics I'm going to hold for after the break. Boy, there's been a lot of news this week. And I tell you, at times when you see press conferences in Washington these days, especially when our president's involved, you really got to think carefully to understand the truth versus what's being espoused at the press conference. And you know, I'm not sure who's, it's like Elon Musk said, the real president's whoever's controlling the teleprompter that's being used at these press conferences. And, you know, it's incredible some of the stuff that was said. I believe it was either Thursday or Friday where Mr. Biden was explaining inflation and how the average American family is better off or thinks they're better off. These folks, I guess it's kind of like watching one of my favorite Seinfeld episodes when George said, well, you know, if you think it, you believe it, it's true. And I'm telling you, some of the things they're saying fly in the face of the recent statistics. And perhaps we'll get into that when I've got other news that I think is probably more realistic, more practical. Forget about trying to understand what's going on in Washington. It might as well be going on the moon for all intents and purposes, because we have very little control over it. And thankfully, the American people can see through most of the discussion involving things that matter the most to them. And when you talk about putting gas in your car or putting baby formula in your shopping cart, all of a sudden, you know the reality, regardless of what someone in Washington's trying to say. And those folks need to live a little. You know, that's the problem. They really have not lived lately in the taxpayer's shoes. In any event, let's take a break. We'll be back here in about 5 minutes. If you want to connect today, feel free to send me a text to 713-581-0195, and be happy to try to answer any questions you may have while we're on the air. If it's relevant to today's topic, and if it's not, we'll circle back maybe next week or during the week this week. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose.
Grinds down to rhinestones and made up my life, but I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I ain't gonna be rich no matter how much it costs. I'm gonna win. Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
It's Be a Planner's Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And my associate, Mr. Dan DuBose, is coming on the air at the moment. Dan, how are you doing today?
Hey, good afternoon. Doing fine. Thanks, sir.
I guess you're all relaxed and recuperated from your last couple weeks' activities on the weekend. And we gave you the weekend off there a couple in a row. And, boy, has a lot happened since you were gone or since you left. You know, I guess, you know, I was referring to goings-on, I think it was the Thursday press conference, maybe it was Friday, where, you know, Mr. Biden gave us the updates on why, you know, we shouldn't worry too much about the inflation that we're experiencing. And It was as one of the headlines said on I think it was Zero Hedge that I was reading, email service, is this real, in quotes. And it goes on, the rest of it is, Biden gives a bizarre inflation speech full of obvious lies. And I tell you, I don't know which planet, you know, this the press conference was held on. It couldn't have been ours, couldn't have been, and it could for sure couldn't have been this country, when you look at how, you know, he explained how much better off we are in spite of the fact that, you know, we're not saving it. He says, one of the quotes is, since I took office, families are carrying less debt, their average savings are up, more Americans are feeling financially comfortable. And I'm just curious, Dan, do you see that across your practice, your clients? Is that the message you're getting?
No, most of what I hear is that things are more expensive now. You know, gasoline here in Texas is published today. They said it was $4.65 a gallon, some number around that. I mean, it's really, really up compared to what it was even just 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. It's
really, really up from when Mr. Biden took office, and that number,
certainly,
I believe, is $1.84 or $1.86 for a gallon of regular. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just can't understand who's – I mean, again, he's not writing these speeches. I mean, there's obviously no way, but I tell you what, it's amazing the creativity of whoever is. And it's not just on the inflation front, it's on, you know, multiple other fronts. It's look at all the stuff that's had to be walked back. I mean, Biden gets on a roll when he's in one of these press conferences, and next thing you know, he's talking about regime change and, you know, assorted other things that is kind of putting, you know, the White House staff on, you know,
in the needle.
Constant trajectory of having to re-explain. I don't know. It's amazing. But in any event, you know, I guess we keep our head down, although, you know, again, there's several articles I want to visit this week. I don't know if well, I'm just going to go through them in the order I've got them up on my screen here because they're it's kind of interesting. I see things throughout the week. I tag it, and then I don't really go back and organize too well. But, you know, we talk a lot about 401k funds, right? And you know, your options for how to invest or control your 401 funds. I saw an article this week that it's hard to fathom that this could be true, and it may not be because it is online, and it's like the cartoon goes where the wife is sitting at the other side of the breakfast table and says to the husband, "Now, do you know that, or do you Google know that?" You know, there is a difference, right? And so in any event, here's the headline, though. Over 20% of 401k plan funds are lost or forgotten. Here's how to reclaim yours. Can you imagine how much money we're talking about? 20%. The average, you want to guess what that average balance is, Dan? Just wild guess. You have any idea how much that could possibly be?
$20,250.
$20,000. Well, you would not even be half right, okay?
Well,
$55,400. Now, I know how averages work. We accountants, trust me, we use the word average, and it's not just accountants. A lot of people in the world or the country use the word average. Financial planners trying to sell their wares will refer to average rates of returns. The problem, you know what the problem with that logic is, Dan? Big glaring problem. The problem is nobody's average. Who's average? You know somebody? You know Mr. and Ms. Average? No, we're all actual. And so I don't know. This probably makes, in this case, it probably makes this look worse than what it is. I don't know. I guess, you know, for every party that make you know, it looks worse for, there's somebody else where it's actually making it look better, right? Where they actually have a bigger number. But in any event, if you've lost your 401 or it's been forgotten about, send me an email. I'll send you a link to this article, but it tells you basically a couple sources that you can track down, you know, where your funds might be, and I guess bring them back to the fold. Let's see, there was another article that was telling. Let's see. Oh, well, I want to hold off on this one, but I want to talk about the other thing that I saw this week that's kind of scary. And yeah, you know, I just listened to 30 minutes of rambling about the new rules involving ESG funds. This was on the show right before ours. I guess it's taped, so I'm not sure when it was actually taped, but Self-Made Millionaires platform. You've heard me speak about them many times. And I hear they're concerned, well, they're trying to make you concerned about your stock market investments. If you weren't already, I mean, this is kind of a situation where the boat's already taken on a lot of water. It's already effectively going under, and now they're complaining, or they're trying to get you to complain that your funds may be subject to environmental, social, and corporate governance qualifications, where they're going to make these funds disclose further requirements, or they're going to increase the disclosure requirements, where the funds will have to opine and give you guidance on things like climate control, et cetera. And you know, I understand that, you know, Gary Gensler, the chairman of the SEC, is extreme. Nobody doubts that. I mean, when you look at some of the rules, I don't know if you're following this topic, Dan, but this guy is as bad as the gal that was going to be in, I can't remember which post in the Treasury or maybe the comptroller office, something financial with the government. I've lost track of her, but she grew up in Russia, educated in Russia, and had espoused the concept of getting rid of our banking system as we know it. I mean, it was drastic. And thankfully, some of the Republican senators, and I think maybe even had a couple Democrats on board, were able to get her to consider doing something else for a living. I think she's a professor. And, you know, I don't know where Biden, I mean, some of these people that Biden, you know, appointed these positions make Janet Yellen actually look good. And I don't know if you've kept up with Janet Yellen's sage advice. I mean, you know, she's the one running the Treasury function of the U.S. government, and she totally missed. She finally admitted she was wrong about the concept of inflation being transitory. I don't know if you saw her comments this week, Dan, but
yeah,
it doesn't give you a lot of confidence that the people driving the wagon are awake and haven't, you know, taken a nap here during the midst of all this, you know, financial upheaval. I'm just curious, Dan, what do you think on that front?
Well, it goes back to reading the tea leaves again. You know, the Federal Reserve banking system in the United States, they're constantly looking at making changes to control the inflation rate, and they've even admitted that they've made some mistakes along the road. And that's very unusual, even for one end of government to say, well, I made a mistake. But it looks like right now that things are mistaken, that things are upside down.
Well, the problem, I didn't mention it, but Jerome Powell was right there high-fiving Janet Yellen about the fact that he didn't think this back in February, I guess, or March, a year ago, he didn't think it was going to be much of an impact. I don't know if you remember that. I can't remember. I think he thought it might top out at 4 or 5%, and of course it didn't take long at all before we were into that neighborhood, plus more, right? So, you know, the two people that should be awake at the switch, We've if we didn't already know it, you can't trust their competency. And Yellen is out of it in terms of understanding the reality as I think Biden is at times. Only she doesn't have a good speechwriter, right? She doesn't have someone controlling the teleprompters, the difference. So given that, I guess this leads into the next article that I saw, which is the Dow and the – let me look at the title. Stocks have taken a bruising, but they could still fall a lot further. The NASDAQ recently had its worst first 100 days ever, but there could be more selling to come. That's a pretty telling headline. The NASDAQ has had its worst first 100 days ever in the history of NASDAQ. And the article, that's just the headline and the subtitle, okay? It doesn't get any better once you start reading the article. But essentially, Wall Street Journal is trying to be kind. They start the first paragraph off with, the Dow and the S&P 500 index had their worst 100 days to start a year in more than 50 years. Well, I guess if you throw – I'm sorry. NASDAQ's not included in that statement. So Dow and S&P 500 are – worst 100 days to start a year in more than 50 years. That's almost back before we were born, right, Dan? I guess close there, right?
Yeah.
And the NASDAQ had its worst start. Okay, so then it goes on to suggest what the title did. But if history is a guide, the selling may have only just begun. Now, for those of you that are still sitting on your 401k funds because you're hopeful it's going to come back, good luck to you. And it will. The question is, you know, how much money you'll have left at that point. And remember, just because if your money goes down, 50% and it comes back 50%, you're still half behind, right? It'd take 100% to get back to where you were. And how often does that happen in history, right? So I think the impact of what we're seeing, where, you know, we get the number of people that connect with us after the show each week has dramatically risen just here in the last two or three weeks. I think that's because more and more people are realizing that unless your money is in hard assets, and what's the current inflationary number, Dan, for the 12 trailing? Is it? It's not over 10 yet, is it, or is it?
It isn't over 10. It was 8 when they spoke this last week. We're talking about it, 8.12. I mean, it's high, but it's not 10.
Okay, so that means if you had $100, help me with the math here, Dan. I think I got it right. If somebody had $100 in their bank a year ago, now they have 92. Is that correct?
Buying power.
Isn't that right? Say again.
And buying power, 92 cents.
Right. So how much longer are you going to sit and watch your retirement wealth, which is, the 401k is where, let's face it, that's where the American family's wealth is tied up. And I know there's some of you sitting there that are saying, well, I got out and I'm in cash. Okay. So you're for sure have less buying power. You might have had a chance if you were in a REIT or something that had hard assets underneath it, right, or included in it. And so, the question is, when's it going to turn around? And I don't think even Yellen and Powell aren't willing to say anything now. I mean, they're kind of clammed up because they were so wrong a year ago. But in any event, holding cash is still another article in the Wall Street Journal this week, why cash is king on Wall Street right now. I guess the professional asset managers have decided that losing some purchasing power by being in cash beats being in the assets that have taken such a drubbing here in recent past. It has not been in the real estate private partnership multifamily market. Those assets are still going strong. In fact, I have another article talking about how multifamily still holds the top perch. Despite some of the stuff that's come around in our general economy, and that's not to say it's a lock. I mean, it's not necessarily always going to be the case. And in fact, the interest rates, there's a number of headwinds brewing that's going to make it hard for some of our multifamily syndicators to refinance when they need to, unless we just magically do a U-turn here on inflation. But despite the supply issues and despite what you're seeing right now just happened, the single family market, we've got, I think there was like a 9% increase in the number of sellers listing their properties. What do you think they see coming? Why now, right? And so I think there's a hint that the single family market at least is really up for some change. Hey, we're past the time. We should have taken a break. Let's go ahead and do the second break, Dan, and we'll be back with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and my guest Dan DuBose, CPA, today.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be A Planner Tax Math Show with Nathan Ross and my guest, Dan DuBose, today. You know, Dan, that show reminds me of some of the financial freedom I hear being discussed on assorted of these old-school travel agent-like membership platforms for real estate investors where they tell you to go ahead and give 40 to 50% of your family's net worth to the IRS, and effectively, you know, it feels good. You're part of a club now. Welcome to the club of those that have given away 40% of your family's net worth, I suppose. But boy, that's a strange kind of freedom when you realize the alternative. And the 401 trust that we utilize for those that qualify will literally double. If you are financially free, we're going to get there by keeping those funds, and it'll double your retirement lifestyle or savings, however you want to define that. Okay, Dan, well, I guess the scariest thing that I saw this week, it wasn't the ESG new rules that have been proposed. That probably won't affect our real estate investors. Now, if you're part of a big REIT, you know, that's traded on Wall Street, I think it probably will have an impact. And it'll be interesting to see how far this proposal gets. I mean, I don't know. I mean, let's hope for a sea change with the elections that are coming in November to maybe get some common sense. I say that. The problem is the Republicans' version of common sense oftentimes syncs right up with the progressive left, right, Dan? I mean, we've seen that more than a few times.
Yes, we have, and it's quite shocking, too. You know, back in the old days, we had two different parties here. We had one that wanted to do what's right, and we had one that wanted to make money for themselves, and I think we've got both of them doing that now. So it's a critical thing we've got coming in November, I believe. So.
Yeah.
Couldn't happen soon enough.
Let's hope. You know, the recent events in Uvalde, for some reason, the media has attempted to brand that as Republican, although I think you could look at the recent event in Tulsa and maybe racism's not involved, or white privilege, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And you know, evil knows no race, right? And, you know, I don't know that the common sense involved with some of those that espouse, you know, gun control necessarily. I mean, I understand, you know, we all can't carry bazookas around. I get that. But I'm going to tell you, in the recent past, people have burned houses down to kill people. They've driven vehicles into crowds to kill people. They've done a lot of things besides carrying AK-17 or AK-47. And all I'm going to say is, whatever the rules are, they need to apply to those in power. And if you've got security guards that are carrying AK-17s or 47s, or you've got military here on our domestic soil that can carry those weapons, well then, you know, I think it's only constitutional. You know, there's a little thing called the Constitution that'll stop a lot of this nonsense, hopefully, if it gets to the right set of judges. I mean, it's hard to predict anymore. But, you know, when it's good, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Okay, I agree. Let's do that. But don't tell me that you're going to get to keep all your things, just like your wall, you know, the wall you've got around your home. Don't tell me that that isn't something we shouldn't be doing around all of our homes collectively, right? So
around the border.
Well, that's right. That's right. It still needs to, our citizenship is, it's like one of my friends from Israel, who is a U.S. citizen now, every time he hears people kind of poo-poo, you know, being an American, you know, in discussion or complain about America, he says, you know what the greatest country club membership in the world is, Nathan? And, of course, I know where he's headed. He said it many times. It's called U.S. citizenship. And if you can qualify to be a U.S. citizen, there's no larger, you know, club or group that you can join. And I think a lot of us forget that at times, but it's because we've got such morons, it seems like, running our country. And they don't stop and think, well, gee, what about our security? What about our, meaning their own? How do we justify that? It's just like all the other laws, Dan. We've seen it many times where Congress will pass laws to govern Dan and Nathan and John Doe American, but they will exempt themselves. Almost 100% of the rules that they pass, they exempt the U.S. Congress or members, et cetera, from those rules. And I would be willing to bet you that if we get some kind of gun control, you watch, it is not going to change a thing in the day-to-day operations of Congress. It would be par for the course. And maybe this will be the first time. I don't know. Hey, let's pivot and talk about another article. And this is what we in the real estate business should be concerned about. It's not what I heard being discussed on the show prior to ours today, and that is the concept. Here's the title of the article. I think this is another Wall Street Journal article. Yeah, it is. An old way to fight inflation gets new fans. Did you see this article, Dan? Do you know what it's talking about?
No, I don't. I did not.
Price controls.
Oh,
what?
Price
should
controls.
We be surprised? I'm just curious, Dan, are you surprised that our current, the folks that run our country are talking about price controls? I mean, is that not, we just knew it was coming. And
yeah,
so the cost of living, oh, go ahead. You said the inflation was up how much, Dan?
8%, 8.1%.
That's correct. You are correct. As of June 3rd, the date this article was published, and it's not just in the U.S., it's jumping worldwide. I know over here in Thailand, the cost of filling our tank has gone up, 500 divided by 20%, I guess, gone up 20% Now, I don't know how much of that's attributable to inflation in America, but a lot of it is. I mean, Thailand doesn't produce its own oil. Now, I'm not sure where it's coming from, but in any event. And so the article is predicated on governments have three main ways to fight inflation. We know about monetary policy. We know about fiscal policy. In America, we really haven't known about price controls, although I guess you could call tariffs a form of price control. I don't think it technically falls under that umbrella. But in any event, tightening the money supply, primarily by raising interest rates, often works frustratingly slow. So we're going to have to grasp at straws, I guess, to fast-track keeping things under control inflation-wise. Fiscal discipline requires a far-fetched scenario of politicians suddenly agreeing to tighten their own belts. Now, Joe Biden was right on one of the things he said on that Thursday or Friday press conference. He blamed Congress in part. It was Congress's spending. It had nothing to do with the fiscal or the stimulus for COVID that he and our former president, Donald Trump, were part of. I think it was a total, what was it, Dan? Was it $4 trillion or $6 trillion that we've spent on stimulus? I think Trump was $4 and then Biden was another $2 trillion, right?
If I remember right. At least $6 trillion, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And that has nothing to do, according to Biden, with inflation. It's this Ukraine war. It's nothing to do with throwing $6 trillion into the economy. That's crazy, okay? So any event, as the article says, so perhaps it's no surprise that price controls, which are government-imposed limits on how much producers and suppliers can charge for goods and services, are back in vogue. And the conventional wisdom that price controls have always failed seems to be a myth. history shows that they often, this is the Wall Street Journal, history shows that they have often been surprisingly effective as temporary measures in urgent crises. Now, listen to the time reference. It's not in our lifetime. It's such as World War I and World War II. Government attempts to stifle inflations with price controls helped in the 50s, but failed in the 70s. And I would think this is a Hail Mary that may blow up on them if they decide to do this, because, you know, there are a lot of ways around government regulation. And just as you're seeing with the Ukraine sanctions, you know, we're not serious about sanctioning Ukraine, and I'm not even sure, or sanctioning Russia. I'm not even sure we should be sanctioning them for Ukraine issues. I mean, as bad as that is, boy, there's a lot of other things that we could have chosen to sanction them for. And I think what happens, and Dan, I'm curious, you know, what your thoughts are on this topic. The world is a small place now, isn't it?
It is.
And so when we talk about targeting China or targeting, you know, Venezuela, and now we're back. What are we trying to do with Venezuela right now, Dan? You remember how we were trying to punish them, what, 2 years ago or a year ago? What are we doing now?
We're trying to buy their oil now, aren't we?
Right. We're on our knees begging the dictator, I forget his name, down there, to sell us oil. I mean, the world is upside down. It's absolutely upside down again that we could be in that predicament. And, of course, at the same time, we shut off, you know, leasing on federal lands. We killed the pipeline. Initially, we didn't kill the German or the Russian to German pipeline. It's like, boy, can these guys shoot straight at all? I mean, they can't do anything right, right? But in any event, at least so far, in spite of, you know, an op-ed that was in the Wall Street Journal on May 30th, President Biden wrote, "I have made tackling inflation my top economic priority."
Oh, yeah.
For who? For who, Dan? I'm just curious. Who's he tackling inflation for? China? Russia? Maybe? I mean, it's just absurd. So far, they haven't rolled out, or I guess they seem to be ruling out, although I don't think they are. Wall Street Journal thinks they are, a formal program of price controls, but guess who's not ruling it out? Democrats in both houses of Congress, led by Senator Elizabeth Warren, Massachusetts, Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, Representative Jen, I'm going to butcher this name, I think it's Schakowsky, introduced a bill last month to prevent what the sponsors call price gouging. Well, to them, price gouging includes, I believe, the slow gestation period that it took before the oil producers, or the distributors, the refiners, I'm not sure exactly where they think the gouging is going on. But, you know, when you're having to buy more oil from, you know, dictators, I think the prices are going to go up, right? And so
yes, and
it takes
have.
A while, right? And hell, I mean, that doesn't just happen overnight, right, Dan?
No, it does not.
And no. Go ahead.
I have a close relationship that works for an oil distributing or oil and fuel distributor in the Houston area, and they're having trouble getting supply sometime. I mean, they're a fairly large business in Houston, and they're having trouble getting deliveries made to their customers just because the stuff is in short supply. The demand is so high. Of course, that's what's driving price too. But that's supply is not there simply because they've just shut down so much of what you just mentioned, the pipeline, the new drilling or new leases and such. And it's terrible right now what's happening.
It is. Hey, hold that thought. I just realized we blew through another break. Let's go ahead and do our last break. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose, CPA.
Is it easy? I know it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man. Be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Just like me,
with big dreams. Okay, welcome back to the final segment. It's going to be a short one of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash show. And Dan, I guess on the topic of inflation, price controls, I suspect something's coming because, again, the crowd that's in control thinks that works. But as the Wall Street Journal article says, and I'm going to leave it with this, controls have seldom worked during peacetime, probably because it takes a national emergency like war to summon enough public support, political resolve, and administrative savvy to make price ceiling stick. And that's rare in our country anymore, those three items, I'm going to suggest. But in any event, jawboning rarely works to stifle inflation, and I'm telling you, that's all we're hearing now. And it's going to take things to get a lot worse than baby formula and other supply chain issues, I think, to get us there. And that would only exacerbate, as I see it, supply chain issues. You can't make people go to work, as we've proven with all the stimulus money that we threw into the economy. It's like, why would you, right? So anyway, hey, one last topic, because we've only got a couple minutes left. I know Dan and I, before the show, we were discussing, you know, the annual tax stats that came out this, I believe it was this past week. The IRS, as some of you may know, puts out a what they call the IRS data book, and it has just incredible information broken down, all types of tax, collections, et cetera. And Dan, I don't know, I haven't had a chance to look at it. Did you get a couple items noteworthy you want to mention, or shall we save this for next week? Because there's a lot here as I'm just looking at it.
There's a lot here, and it needs to be studied more, because it really is affecting what we're going to go through, particularly because the IRS is still needing bodies. They're still needing people to do the work. They're still behind. What was they said? One out of nine calls got answered. That's one statistic I do remember. Nine people made a call and one got an answer after maybe waiting online for an hour to get to talk to somebody. I mean, it's an awful situation there. And it's good in that, you know, the possibilities of audit might be less now.
Well,
it's bad too with those that have taxes that are trying to get worked out too.
Yeah, I think you're right. And yeah, we will come back on this next week. There's a lot of good information in here. And then, speaking of what you just did, we've got ways of helping resolve things as professionals that the average taxpayer doesn't. So if you're having those issues, let us know. We'll see how we might help you. Well, Dan, thanks for coming on again this week. I don't know if you can. Love to have you tomorrow morning on the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. And we hope those of you that are listening today can tune in tomorrow as well. If not, we'll see you or hear you next week. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.